All right, we are here. We are Galexis. Welcome. It's a pleasure to see you today, to see the light that you are, to see the readiness that you have. You see, the topic today about time is perhaps one of the trickiest ones that you have to encounter in your life. The reason that is that you have been taught and trained to have an unpleasant, a difficult, a dysfunctional relationship with time. And as a powerful reality creator, as a light being who has chosen at this time to come into physical embodiment, to experience the fullness and richness of creativity and its expression in physical form, to participate in a great global shift of consciousness. You wanted to experience and work with time. You chose to come into a culture in whose structure and organization is all based on time. The clock. You have been entrained by the clock. Today we want to free you. Today we want to open you up to a new way of working with time, to new possibilities. You see, your culture, your world, in this great global shift of consciousness which called you. And by the way, you're the lucky ones who got to come here. Sometimes you may not have thought so. Sometimes physical embodiment really was a sucky experience. But nevertheless, it's a glorious opportunity to be present for the culmination, for the transitions of a grand experiment. And by experiment, we don't mean that it's unknown how it's going to turn out. You already know how it's going to turn out. Your reality is going to shift out of a limited three-dimensional form, out of the box of length, width, and height, and depth. Out of this box, out of this three-dimensional box of reality, your whole world, your whole culture, your civilizations, human beings are going to have the opportunity to move into an expanded awareness of fourth dimension and then fifth dimension. Fourth dimension, time and space. Fifth dimension, a dimension of imagination. Now, most people don't think imagination is real. But it's more real than you know. And moving towards that place to where you can imagine and dream things, and they manifest instantly, just the way you dream them, just the way you manifest them, you have to learn how to work with time. Because as a powerful reality creator, come into this world and choosing to forget most of who you are, as this multidimensional being. You have chosen the illusion of time so that you can narrow your focus to your creative process. You can take time to, in a sense, take things apart. You know, you've seen those diagrams that you get when you get a kit to install, and they will perhaps show the kit, the object that you're installing in what they call it exploded, where all the pieces are there and they're marked and labeled and so forth. That's what you wanted to do. You wanted to take all the components of creativity, all the components of reality creation, and examine each little piece. Now, if you think something that you desire and it's instantly manifest, do you have the opportunity to look at every little piece? No, you don't. If that manifestation is really unpleasant, you just basically have to start all over again. It's a kind of a strange process, and if you don't have time, you have eternity to do this. But you thought it would be fun to do it in time, so that you could create time to take it all apart. Oh, that's how it works. Oh, I misaligned that piece. Let me ooch that particular piece. Oh, and let me get this piece lined up better with that, so that you could manifest with precision. Some of you have already been manifesting. Some of you are here to manifest some of the original life forms or the original environments on this planet. But you decided to come back because it's a big deal that's going on now. And a lot of souls, that's the overpopulation, you know, a lot of souls want to be here for this. It's like a big celebration. So you're here and you're ready. You've kind of been waiting for this celebration. You've kind of been waiting for this change. But you're not going to be able to leap into it. You're not going to be able to experience the glory of this change until you learn how to work with time as your friend, as your ally, in partnership. Till you can learn how to utilize time, the illusion, to create what you wish. Till you can get your chops up, where you can get your skills together, where you can get yourself in alignment with the illusion and step beyond it. Here you are, poised and ready. In a few years, your whole culture will start to understand and recognize the nature of time and how to work with it. In fact, your technology, which seems to be speeding up. You notice how much faster computers are than they used to be? And they're getting smaller and smaller. Now you can have a whole computer in your hand. All of this is a compression of this incredible genius of time exploration. Technology is possible because you could have the time to take all the pieces together and get them lined up precisely. As machines have gotten faster, are taking over more work and more function, you have begun to compete with them. You are feeling, in essence, forced to pace yourself faster, forced to be more efficient with your time. There's going to be a point at where you will bring your efficiency, your creativity to us also, to a point of this precision. And at that point, you will transcend the three-dimensional box, because you will have learned how to work with time, and you'll be able to be in sync with it, in harmony with it, in time and space, and you'll be able to step through the portal of time to fifth dimension, to live according to your imagination. And it's beyond the sky that's the limit. So much is waiting for you. You know, when you first came here, when you were first born as an infant, you experienced time very differently than you do now. You see, infants live in the nature of time that's known as, that we call organic time. You know, you can't get an infant to, you know, sleep all through the night and wake up and have breakfast at 7. And then to nurse again at 10. Infants are going to discover their own cycles. They're on their own rhythms. When they're hungry, they cry. They have to be fed. Those of you who are mothers, who nursed, know that you had to be on organic time. You could not be on clock time with a baby. The babies just don't get it. They don't organize themselves. They are in discovery. They're totally, completely, 100% psychic. They can pick up anything that you feel, think, know, say, do. And they just take it inside and learn with it. They just perceive it. They pull it in. They, oh, look at this piece. Look at that piece. They begin their evaluation of the pieces. It doesn't take them long. You're a brilliant, brilliant functioning entity. It only takes a day or two, generally, for a child to learn how to focus their eyes, to learn how to see. It takes a little while, then they get depth perception. You can't teach them that. You can't teach anyone depth perception or how to focus their eyes. This is something that is learned, and the infant and the child has eternity to learn it, every moment, an eternal moment, every moment to learn, to drink it all in. That's organic time. Very psychic, very tuned to fourth dimension. You as an infant could see spirits walking around. You could see all sorts of things. You knew how to commune with other beings and other entities that were not physical. If there was a pet in the household, there was a relationship with that pet on another level that nobody else in the household was aware of. You had it, but you didn't have any power to use it. You only absorbed it. It only came into you. It was only perceived by you, and it was filtered to you through your parents. And later, as you became a child and grew up and started going to school and so on, it came through your teachers. It came through the organization of the routines. It came through homework that had to be allotted, and you had to find time to do your homework, etc., etc. And so eventually you began getting totally exposed to what we would call the time that is in vogue, i.e. linear time, logic time. Time that moves in sequence from past to present to future. You began to learn that this was the preferred way to see time, and that those people who were more logical, who were more capable of thinking linearly, were greater and higher achievers. They were more successful. They were smarter. They were brighter. Society made sure that there was an obvious difference, an obvious gap between those people who were the kings and queens of linear thinking and those people who just somehow or another couldn't get out of the organic time orientation. There are several cultures on your planet that tend to really focus on organic time. These are cultures that are audio. These are cultures that tell stories. That like, that way that they hand their culture down is through stories. And they'll take the young people and they'll sit around and tell them the stories of their people. They learn through hearing and doing. They don't learn through print. The print media, the visual mind, the visual person, relative newcomer of evolution, is the visual one, is the one who excels in linear thinking. So if for some reason or another you're an audio type and your favorite thing is to hang out with people, socialize and tell stories, and you don't see yourself as very well organized and efficient, don't feel so bad, all right? You just are more comfortable in organic time. Yes, we know that your culture puts a lot of preference on linear time and linear thinking. And yes, you know how to use linear thinking. As you grow up, as you become adults and take on jobs and raise children and all that, all the responsibilities of being an adult, you notice how time then gets shorter. Things move faster. You have to fit more things into your schedule. You have a schedule. And you have to fit things in. You have to be responsible to get things done and fit things in. And you got to get it all done. Sometimes you have to run kind of faster to try and get it all done. You have A lists, B lists, and C lists. Time can seem to get away from you. And as you get older, as you go through the cycles of aging, time again. Aging. Yes, that's time. Oh, time has gone by, you say, looking in the mirror, seeing the wrinkles. As you get older, time speeds up even more. That's the perception that you have. Wonder where? Why don't I have those long, glorious days of childhood now? Remember those long summer days or those days where you just did whatever and it just went on and on and on. It was glorious. Your future was a positive thing you looked forward to with glorious anticipation. Oh, yes. I'm going to be 5 1/4. The excitement of every month, every year. And when you get it past 30 and so on, what do you think about time then? Oh no, another year. Oh no, another birthday, I'm getting older. Oh gosh, I'm heading towards death. I'm heading towards being decrepit and old and, oh my gosh, it's getting closer and closer. Your heels dug in, resisting. Let's see if we can do something special to the skin or maybe color the hair. Let's do something to appear that time has not ravaged us. But you see, in a way, that response or that reaction to time, that relationship to time is not really natural. One of the things you as light workers came to do was to learn how to work with time so that you could have stress-free longevity. If you were having fun all the time and felt great, you know, it'd be obvious, hey, I'd like to live long. You know, this would be a great thing. This life would be really great. If you're suffering in pain, have difficulties, struggle, do you want to really live long? No. But when you come to a new relationship with time, you can't extend your lifespan. You can live without so much stress. You can find the time, quote unquote, to do what it is you wish to do. And some people wait until retirement, the golden years, right, of retirement. Now, finally, we'll be able to go and do those leisure things that we couldn't do while we were raising the family and putting the money in the bank and saving and all those kinds of things. Now we're going to retire. We're going to have fun now. How many of you have at some point in your life think, well, if only I could just get all this money and get this stuff together so I could retire early. Then I could do what I wanted to do. What I want to do. Well, if you have a good relationship with time, there's a good possibility that you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. You see, in your culture, which values and overvalues linear time, you grew up thinking that time was a factor in productivity, and productivity is good because productivity leads to wealth and abundance and happiness. That you're useful as a human being if you can be productive. You can bring in good money and save up for that glorious retirement you hope to have if you're productive. Productivity in your culture is measured by how much you get done in a period of time. What is Ove saying? Time is money? But now wait, those people in your culture who have the most money, the billionaires, do they work on the clock? No, they don't. Do they have a rate per diem or per hour? No. They have, in a sense, transcended the time as money. A person is paid according to their power, their responsibility, and their value. So time is money is just a... It's a myth. It's a myth that's been fed you. Just right now, just break that myth. It isn't. Time is not money. Time is money as a mythology is used to pressure yourself into becoming a workaholic. If you notice in your culture, the workaholic is probably the most highly idealized person. This person can do everything at once. Aren't they magnificent? They're so super achievers. They're the ones that seem to be the glorious successful lights that, you know, these people seem to be able to get so much done. But there's a dark side to the workaholic. Sometimes a workaholic has to sacrifice things of value for the sake of money or the sake of success. Those of you who have found yourself focused on making money, focused in the track of success, pushing and driving yourself, when you found yourself there, what did you see as things that you liked to do? They were kind of frivolous. They were like things that had to wait for later. And if you really made time to be with your family, to be with your friends, you had to call this quality time. Yes? So what do you do during quality time? It means that you focus on a relationship. You focus on the connection between you and others. In other words, you take a certain span of time and say, in this span of time, I'm going to go into organic time. Those of you who do self-development, you have to kind of fit it in here and there. Because if you were to take a class in sculpting, and you never sculpt again after the class, but you have a blast in the class, it was not necessarily productive. It felt good. It was fun. But was it productive? You had to get, if you notice, to a certain level of maturity before you could value non-linear time for yourself. Before you could value yourself enough to do things for you that were fun, that were pleasureful, that were joyous, that were not couched within some kind of time parameter. Well, I have between 3:15 and 4:30. When you really had fun, did you look at the clock? No. If you had to stop your fun activity because of a deadline. How did it feel? Was it fun to pull yourself away to go to the deadline, to go to the appointment? No. Some of you have a lot of difficulty transitioning from organic time to linear time. And others of you have difficulty transitioning from linear time to organic time. Those of you who don't take really good care of yourself, don't give yourself a good break, tend to work too much, or stay on focus or on some kind of track too consistently. You might have difficulty going into organic time. What do you do there? You might feel lost, disorganized. Who are you? Just hanging out here, lying here, just looking out the window. Something's not right. You should be doing something. Or if you're doing something that's pleasureful, oh, I hope I can get this done before dinner, because after dinner I have to do all these other things. You may not be able to fully experience organic time, because when you're really in organic time, you can get into the now. You can get into the fullness of the eternity that's available in every single moment. Linear time is driven by future, pushed by past, in a sense. Linear time says we got to keep ourselves focused on the goal. Are you present when you're in linear time? No. Where's your attention? In the future. Now, there are some of you who tend to have tend to slide their attentions back into the past a lot. Some of you who have what you might say a sense of guilt. You feel that you haven't done enough because you didn't do enough back there, and there's somewhere there's a part of you that you don't like, and you keep focusing on it, hoping to correct it, hoping to fix it. This is called putting all your attention on the problem. Some people have gone to have psychoanalysis. Remember the psychoanalysis days? You lie on the couch. You know, there's so many jokes and cartoons made about this. Well, you lie on the couch and you get the opportunity just to kind of free associate. For 50 minutes, of course. And you don't really get to go as long as it takes. But there's an analyst who sits there, pad and pen, and writes down stuff, makes comments, analyzes what you say, finds the Freudian implications or whatever. A lot of people got into that. They spent years and years focusing on the pain of the past, on the sorrows of the childhood, of the problems that they seem to encounter. These people could not get themselves oriented correctly to the present or to the future. But that's also part of the downside of excess linear thinking. Linear thinking thinks that you are right now who you are because of what you have been and what you've done. Linear thinking goes that way. And that somehow or another you have right now to set yourself correctly and appropriately towards your goal so that you can create a future that is better than your past. Time moves from past to present to future. That's the linear concept. You have birth, then you have, here you are at 7 at school, and do you have, this point and that point, and all of this comes up to the present, and here you are, right here in the center of this line that starts way over on, generally on your left in this culture. It could be start in other places and other cultures, but the way you see time is starting from the left, going to the present in the center, and then moving over to your right, you see, into the future. And out there on the end, it ends with death. You see, it begins with birth and it ends with death. And somewhere you're in between, either closer to one side or the other. And you organize every part of your thinking and your awareness, or at least you have been taught to do that, on what we call the timeline. This is a line from the past to the present to the future. Your timeline. Now, you don't have much filled in your future to the point in the future, to the death. You don't have where you are right now to death. You don't have it mapped out. Tisk, tisk. But you see, people who lived in organic time, the ancient ones, the cultures that are looked down upon so much, the shamans and mystics, they saw the future, they saw the past, and they saw the present. Because they had access into fourth dimension, they had access into time. Time was an ally, worked with them. If you go to somebody, for example, who does medical intuition, this person will look at your body at the present and see what's going on in your body. And you say, well, you know, I had an accident a year ago. And since that accident, I've had this and this. And they will go to a year ago in your body. They will go back there and they will look. Here's a year ago. And they'll look at the status of your body a year ago. And they will see it. They'll read it psychically, just as easy as they read your psychic body at the present. And they can also go to the future. And they can look at your body in the future. Now, the future that they will look at, and any psychic will look at, anybody who says, we can tell you your future, they're reading your present. They're creating a timeline from your present and the past. So there's a point at birth and a point that is called the present, and they just take that line and they extend it straight into the future. They extend it to its logical place that it will go, according to where you are now and what you're doing now. And you say, okay, 3 months in the future, how will this thing work out? And they'll go 3 months in the future based on past to present to future. And they'll read it. But if you've ever had really a lot of psychic readings, you noted that they're notoriously unreliable. Maybe for the first few weeks, it's pretty good. But the further out they get in time, if they give you a prediction for a year in the future, that may not be accurate at all. Why? Because somewhere in there, you deviated by choice. You shifted your direction. And when you did that, you drew up a new line from birth to present with this new direction. And extended that, and it went to a different future. So you play with time all the time. Now, you're quite masters at it. We don't want you to feel that you are real ignorant about this, because you have learned, specifically those of you who've been doing some kind of metaphysical learning or metaphysical work, you've learned a lot about time. And you work with both organic and linear time when you work with metaphysics and spiritual principles. Now, time can be perceived in one of two basic ways. It can be perceived as a lot of points of light. Or it can be perceived as a flow. If you perceive time as a flow, you will feel that time, in essence, as a flow, instead of really just going from the past to the present to the future, you can feel it from the future coming to the present. and flooding into the past. Which means you can write your life any direction you choose. Right? If you look into your past and you decide to change the way you feel and perceive and think and believe about an event in your past, then by your belief, you can change who you are right now. If you go to the future and shift something in your imagination about who you can be in the future, you can pull it back to yourself in the present and change yourself in the present. You can work either way. What flexibility this is. You realize that? And you do it all the time without particularly, you know, thinking it remarkable. Now, when you perceive time as points of light, one of those points of light is now. Now, this is a point of light is caused from this. Let us just say it this way. This is close to how it is. We have to make kind of an analogy how it is. But when you get to that fourth level, fourth dimension, you will see it yourself and you will understand how it works. Imagine a box, a cube. It has length. And then it has, you know, height. And it has depth. It has three dimensions. Your physical plane that you are living in and you're comfortable with, your body and everything. And everything that you see and everything that's manifest, that's physical, is in a three-dimensional construct. Imagine that this box and everything that's inside your cell is constructed on this matrix of three dimensions. You have innumerable light fibers, parallel, moving in one way. Innumerable fibers, parallel, crossing them, moving the other way. Innumerable, infinite number of fibers of light moving the other way. See it as a grid of light, fibers, moving along length and width and height and depth or whatever, all of the dimensions of this cube. Now, it also goes every which way also, but if you can just imagine it this way, that you've got this light grid, that it begins when you move out of 3D, when you start to emerge out of the box, it's going to curve. There's a curve to it. It starts to curve. And because time is circular or spiral, time does not have a linear quality by its essence. The way you created the illusion is through spiraling energies. More circular, more cyclical. All right? So imagine all these fibers starting to spiral, starting to curve, and they curve around in and on themselves. And they curve into kind of like a column or a tube. And this becomes kind of infinite. And if you look at it, once it kind of curves in on itself and completes itself and continues the spirals, you can see the formation of a donut. It looks like a donut. Nice round tube with a hole in the middle. This is called the torus. Scientists use it as a diagram of fourth dimension. Now, if you look close at the torus, you float in the torus, you look at all these fibers. They cross each other. And everywhere they cross, there's a point of light. Every crossing is a point of light. There's infinite numbers of these, of course. But what you do as a powerful reality creator that you are, you focus on one and say, this is now. Now, what you've done in this life is you've learned how to focus on a now. You've chosen this is now. You see, you exist on all the levels and dimensions anyway. You're not aware of it because only part of you came into this physical plane to play with time. So the part of you that came into physical plane, reality, shows one point to focus on is now. And all these other points of light are other times and spaces. So you decided to create a consistency of space, which you call your physical plane, and that you see this space, this room, this, the building, the distance between here and the next town, all that spatial concept. You made it consistent by finding points of light and which you created your timeline. So you have birth, point of light for birth, nice big point because it was a big event, right? And then you have lots of lights lined all the way up to the present, and you line them up. There's so many of them, they become the timeline. So you've organized time according to your timeline, but it's really made up of particles of light. All right. So light can be particle or can be waves. There's all sorts of possibilities. So anyway, you've got all these lights coming down your timeline. Some of them are really big and bright. These are the places that of significant changes or significant periods of your life or events. All right. Some of them are places where you made significant choices which changed the direction of your life. And so you have all of them lined up from the past to the present. And then when you decide that you want something, you desire to manifest something, you search out there and you find a point in the future and they say, here's the manifestation. You have a point in the future. Manifestation. And then you think, okay, what are the steps do I need to get there? And you figure out all the steps that you think you need to get there, or what kind of progressions you need to get there, and how long into the future you believe it'll take before you can fulfill this manifestation. And so you line a whole bunch of points up from the present to the future. So you continue your timeline to the future. Now, the timeline is not quite as concentrated because you don't have as much detail on this timeline. So it's a series of points. It looks like a kind of line of points. But it heads right there. And if you think that, okay, as I move from one point of now to the next point of now and the next point of now on this lineup, I'm making progress. The illusion of progress when you move from point to point. Each point being some kind of achievement that you would see. This is planning. And it comes because you make a choice of what you desire, what you choose to have, what you want. And that choice you make in the now is your point of power, the light point of power. At your point of power, and any point, by the way, any point can be a point of power. It's your choice, which choice, because most of the time you're going along, you know, just filling in the light points between this and the next point and the next point and the point. In other words, all the micromanagement you do of all the intermediate steps and all the routines that you have to do in between there and so on. You live your life in a kind of, there's a routine, there's a kind of a blur. The points of nows are so similar to the previous points of now, you can't really distinguish them from one from another. And like a movie that has many frames going up per second, and so many frames happening per second that it looks like there are no frames, but it looks like continuous movement. You're doing that for yourself. But sometimes your now becomes a pivotal point, a point of power, where you make a choice to shift something, to change something, or you add something new to your direction. And as soon as you do that, okay, you had a point way out here, and then suddenly, here's your goal now. It's been adjusted. It's over here. So then you move these points that were lining between you and the old one, and you reevaluate them just briefly and line them up to the new one. Now you've got a new timeline from the future to the present. And if you adhere to that, you can also change your past. Because if you take the point of that future point, move it to the present, and then extend it straight out to the past, it won't go into the previous timeline. It's at a different angle. It creates a new past. You didn't realize that, did you? Every time you make a choice, you're creating a new past as well as a new future. Isn't that cool? Isn't that really great? You see how much creative flexibility you've got? Now, if you want to do something that is a bit or more organic, if in a process of creating something in the future, you want deliberately to get your past and the future to line up in a different way, and you want yourself in the present to change, then what you'll do is that you'll use some of these points, these crossings, these points of light, as reference points. The brighter ones are reference points. For example, if you ever do any work with your inner child, you'll go back to a child reference point. You'll find one. You'll find a child reference point. You'll go to that point. You'll do a process. You'll do meditation. You'll shift or change some feeling, some belief, some orientation, some choice. You shift something in the meditation. Your subconscious mind, which is the one that holds everything in consistency, has to make the new choice consistent. We'll create a different past between that point and the now. And you'll, by your belief that the past creates the present, you'll change. If you aim towards a point in the future, you use the stages that you feel that you must go through as reference points to you to tell you where, if you're making progress to get there, you can take what you feel are the beliefs, the feelings, the thoughts, the orientations, and any kind of environmental influences that you feel are necessary to fully realize that particular point. And you and your imagination can step into that future imagination. Remember that word, fifth dimension. You can step into that future in meditation and claim it and be there, and then step back to the now, quote unquote, and you will have changed. Pretty amazing stuff, huh? You do this all the time, and you don't even think about it. But the reason we're telling you is so that you can be aware consciously of what you're doing with time. Because you see, most of the time, you forget to make the choices. Most of the time, you forget to use the reference points, whether they're in the past or the future or wherever they may happen to be. And you stay on a linear line by habit. If you want to experience the miraculous, you're going to jump from the present to a point off your timelines, way off your timelines. You're going to find another point, and you're going to go directly from here to there. That's a miracle. That's very profound magic. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to have the belief that you can do it. And most of you have been rigorously trained that you can't do that. We hope to break that myth today. We hope it's being broken right now as we speak, right? You can jump to any point from now. if you can believe it. Now, if you feel that you cannot believe it, then go change your beliefs that were set in not believing it. Where do you have the memories of your beliefs? In your past, somewhere on your past timeline, there'll be a point that'll have a light and it'll say, okay, here's a belief about, here's where I made the choice to believe it's not possible to heal, for example, instantly. There it is, back there on the timeline. You go back there, you do your meditation, you change that, you shift it to the present, and then you go, you shift and go into meditation at the healed point and imbibe whatever it is that you feel you have to know and believe and feel and experience and what all the orientations and contexts are that are there, and really get it as real as possible, then you jump back to the present, and voila, you've changed. Then you can go ahead and jump on back to that point, and it's there you've created a timeline between you and that point. That timeline may be a moment, 10 minutes or something. Not necessarily 3 years of diligent effort. It may bypass a surgery. Wouldn't that be nice? You see? If you have the power to make the choice, if you're willing to play with the points of power that you have made in the past that determine your level of power now in your perception, and the points of power in the future, those events that you are aiming for, if you can jump back and forth and play with those and not go in just a straight linear progression, you're doing what is known as processing. This is a process. It's not exactly linear. Process, you go to the future, to the past. To the future, to the past, 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 future, 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 past, future, past. You jump all over the place. You, the present, being kind of the moderator, the organizer of this whole process. That is the blending of the organic time and the linear time with you, the powerful one, the reality creator, in the now, orchestrating it. People who have easy, wondrous, flowing, magical lives are able to do this with fluidity and grace. They're flexible. They're good imaginations. They've got great imaginations. They can dream stuff. They're good dreamers. That's why it's important to develop your imagination when you work with time. Because when you go into the future and past, future, past, future, past, future, past, when you go into the future, you're connecting with a self that is fifth dimensional. When you connect with fifth dimensional enough, you'll pull yourself right through from third dimension through fourth dimension to fifth dimension. You'll step into that which you have imagined and dreamed. And every one of you has had a project or something that you've done that has been successful. You have experienced the extraordinary high of that. You've stepped into fifth dimension. You feel that you are free. You feel beyond the limits and beyond the boundaries. Phenomenally powerful, phenomenally free. It's pivotal, dear ones, if you're going to work with time, to be aware of how you already are working with time and then take your power back from the process. Take your power back from time. You're not fighting time, really. Some of you resist kicking and screaming. But we want to share with you two secrets of time that you need to keep as a ready reference point when you want to work with time and to create magic and to create the miraculous. First of all, first secret of time is that you've got plenty of time. There's plenty of time. There is enough time. You have all the time in the world. You have forever and eternity. You have as much time as you want. We know you don't really believe that to a certain extent. Some of you know that you've stepped sometimes into exquisite transcendent places where you know this. But you've got all the time. So you see, when you designed this lifetime, you sat down with your crew, spirit, soul, higher self, lots of friends, and you mapped it out kind of generally, gave it some good large brush strokes. Okay, we're going to play with this theme. We're going to work with that. We're going to do this, and then we're going to achieve that, and we're going to have this fun, and we're going to blah, blah, blah. You allotted enough time for it, believe it or not. So many of you are laboring in the illusion that you're running behind. Dear ones, you're not. That's some kind of comparison that you're making to some other person. It may be people who appear to get there before you do. But that doesn't say anything. That's no judgment about you. It doesn't say that you're stupid or anything. But you see, you've been trained to think that you've got to be productive to a certain amount, and you've got to achieve a certain amount. And if you don't achieve a certain amount, you're either lazy or stupid or inadequate or, oh, shame on you or whatever. And you've been handed this crap years and years and years and years. After a while, the repetition gets to you. And you get burdened down with crazy ideas about time, thinking there's not enough of it. You see? But you got plenty of it. You got loads of it. Now, some of you have this perception from a very odd angle, and that is that you haven't been physical that much. Now, we take issue with people who say, okay, if you're very spiritual and you seem to be very evolved, you must be an old soul. That means you must have had umpteen zillion lifetimes on earth and really, you know, evolved through all these lifetimes to this place. And we'd like to say that is just one way of looking at it, and it's not true for everybody. There's some people that have had loads and loads and loads of lifetimes, but a lot of you who are really in this wave of spiritual development, those of you who are there, or here rather, in this phase of spiritual development, who are becoming the leaders, becoming the light champions that you are, is going to help a lot of people through the chaos that's coming. You can already see the chaos coming. Chaos has been here a while too. And you can see that people need some orientation with people who've already been through the chaos and have a sense of what it's like on the other side. You're it. You decide to have a physical lifetime and a physical body, and most of you have not had that many physical lifetimes, but you're used to having lifetimes on other planets and in other star systems. Yeah, you're ETs, you know? Don't buy into the Hollywood version and all these ETs are bad and they come to dominate your planet. And they're spooky and scary, and they're going to rack you into scientific experiments that are going to be painful and blah, 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 blah. Don't worry about that. That basically, that phase is over. The ETs around are generally your cousins and your friends, your family, your lineage, your people. They're all like they're rooting for you, right? when you came into physical lifetime, you took on a very short lifetime. You're used to living thousands of years in a body. Not nearly as dense as this one. So, you know, you have time in these other lifetimes. You've had time to do leisure research. You could spend 300 or 400 years on a project. So what? But you came into a planet that was making the transition to time, where time is short. And so if you have a lifetime that you make it to 100, you're considered really, really old and long-lived. You know, you've heard these mythologies that there was, you know, you've heard about Methuselah, right? 900 and something years of his lifetime. That's kind of normal for a human lifetime, actually. But Methuselah, and, you know, was living in a time when there was not this compression. It was not moving into another dimension. It was organic, and it was also related more to the way that you lived on other planets. There wasn't the same type of stress and organization and so forth that's here. And also there's certain other connections that were had with spirit that infused the bodies with a much more sustainability. But disease came to your planet as a way to compress, condense, focus, move energies, and it kind of got out of hand. So you have short lifetimes. When you break this time barrier that's coming, that you're pushing against now, you can choose to have a life in a body as long as you want. A healthy life, a comfortable body, feeling vibrant, feeling energetic and alive. So yes, your life may be very short, but don't think that that means you don't have enough time to achieve what you came to achieve. You're going to warp time. You have plenty of time to do everything you have planned to do, and you're on track. If you ever find yourself freaked that you're not getting enough done and you're running behind. Oh my gosh, I'm running behind. What is it, the right white rabbit? I'm late. If you get into that space, I'm late. I'm behind. Stop. Remember, I have enough time. I'm on track. I'm not behind. I'm merely on my program, which is different from everybody else's program. And while you may compare your program to somebody else's program who seems to be way ahead of you, think about how many people are on this planet that are way, way behind you. Get some perspective, all right? And then just go, ah. Let the stress go. How much stress would you have if you didn't have all this time scarcity belief nonsense? How much stress would you have if you knew how to work with time so that, quote-unquote, deadlines were not demanding? All right, that takes us and brings us to the second secret of time. And the second secret of time is that time is subjective. The speed of time depends on your conscious attention. If you're doing something that you're very focused on, and you have a lot of your resources and energy focused, and you focus it into the now, into the doing of whatever it is, or into the experience of it, or into the love of it, or whatever it is, when you're right there with concentrated awareness, time will just move very, very fluidly. It'll move quickly. It'll have a sense of smoothness. And it will also seem that it goes by awfully fast. You look up, oh my gosh, where did the time go? It's all like tempus fugit, you know, time ran off. You know. The one who channels us likes to write, and when she gets involved in writing, she loses total track of time. And then Daniel, bless his heart, has to come and say, you know, it's about time for dinner. Can we have dinner, please? It's getting late. It's a pleasurable experience, that kind of time, actually, when you're concentrated, when you're in that flow, and it's smooth without snags. It's not disharmonious. It has this marvelous harmony. Now, have you noticed how time flows, though, when you're bored? When you're bored, impatient, restless, not happy about having to do what you're doing. Oh, gosh, you know, I'd really like to have some dinner, but I've got to go out and I have to go shopping first before I can make some food. Or maybe I should have to go by a restaurant. Let me call and see if they have takeout. I really don't want to have to do that because that means I have to change clothes before I go out and everything. I'm all comfortable in my scruffies here, but. So you have to do something, you know, okay, I have to get in the car and drive in all this heavy traffic. Oh gosh, it's rush hour. What was I thinking? Why didn't I do this earlier today? Okay, what happens to time then? It snags up, doesn't it? You have to wait extra long at a red light because some idiot gets in the middle of the intersection and nobody can turn left and you're stuck in the left turn lane and darn it, it was only going to be two lights back and now I'm not going to make it for at least three lights. Time snags up. It goes awfully slowly. Even though it may seem like clock time goes really fast. Oh my gosh, I've already been spending 15 minutes in traffic. I've got to get this done by 7. My favorite show is at 7. I've got to be back home for that. It just doesn't work right, does it? It's kind of disharmonious. It's clunky. It's bangy. It's disjointed. Disorganized. There's not smoothness in it. It doesn't feel magical. That's because, dear ones, you're resisting it. When you're concentrated and you're flowing yourself without reserve, time moves smoothly. Your perception of time may be that it lasts forever and then it lasts a very short period of time. It can be both. Your perception of time is distorted. Also, if you resist, if you're angry or impatient or frustrated or scared or stressed or on a deadline, urgent. Oh, you know how a lot of times when you're thinking about urgency, you say, this is important, which means this is urgent. You got to deal with it now. Important is an aspect of value, not of time. But look what you did. You made time so valuable that you can whip yourself into craziness over it to fulfill some kind of demand. Push, push, drive, drive, shove, shove. So that brings us to here's how to work with time. And we're going to just finish for just a few minutes and then we're going to go into a break. We know it's time for a break. We can feel the time getting like a little restless, right? How do you work with time? First of all, you develop a good relationship with time itself. You have to let go of time as the enemy and embrace time as a friend. Secondly, you've got to end your resistances to the flow of time. How do you do that? You do that by choice. So the second one is, you need to be in choice. You need to be in your power. Because in your power, you can prioritize according to you. You can prioritize the best way to you. If there are things that you have to do, duties and obligations that are absolute necessities, you cannot get out of them, remember that at some point, you chose them. At some point, you made the choice to take your duties and your obligations and the demands upon you. When you chose to have a child, you chose all of the stuff that came with it. Your choice. So when you stay in choice, when you bring your duties and obligations and demands back into choice and take yourself out of victim consciousness. You're not victims of time, dear one. Just because you age and somehow can't seem to stop the clock, you're not a victim. But you may perceive yourself that way. But you, in victimhood, bring yourself into your power and make choice. So that everything that you do is by choice. And number three, by your choice, you maintain your power in the present moment. You don't give your power away to the past nor to the future. You don't orient yourself according to what has been or what will be, or what you hope will be, or what you fear will be, or anything. You orient to what you feel, what you think right now, who you are at this point, and what you choose. Stay focused in the present. You will manage the past, you will manage the future, but you will be present. So many of you have had so many painful experiences that it had not been worth it for you, you felt, to be present. To the extent that you are not present in your life, and not present in your consciousness, not present in your awareness, your life, to the extent that you're not there, your life will have struggle and time will be your enemy. The now is the crossroads of eternity. If you want to be the light being that you are, if you want to fulfill your missions, to dreams, to live a life of magic, you have to be here now. Be here now. You've heard that one before. We know. Be here now. You can't dissociate yourself from the present. This creates innumerable snags and can also create a sense of weak-willedness. And when you have a weak-willedness, then you follow the consensus or the collective program about time, which is not a good program, and you know that. It's not a pleasant program to be part of. You know, your age 57, it's time for cancer. You see, you don't want to be part of that program. But if you resist the present, you can't help but fall into the program that will carry you into the future. Maybe ask backwards, you know, facing the past. maybe your self-image is, oh yes, I'm still the hippie, I'm still the rebel, I'm still the, you know, the crazy one. You know, that self-image needs to go. Don't live in the past. Be present. I am who I am now. Who I think, what I feel, what I do, what I say, how I am. This is me now. My temperament. Me. And I'm okay. And if you value the present enough, if you value yourself enough to stay present, you'll break out of any rut you're in. You'll break out of that consistent conformity flow from past to present to future. And you'll be able to work with the future energies that come in. If your will is too weak, the future energies come in, they overpower you. You have too much fear of the future and you shrink back. You don't want to go there. So that's what's going to enable you to work with time. Later on, we're going to talk a little bit more about the details. That's before the meditation where we're going to do all the changes. We're going to talk about how to do this, right? The process of it. But for now, we're going to take a break, maybe 10, 15 minutes, tops, so that you can kind of get yourself kind of refreshed and shifted and think about some stuff. And maybe you might want to ask a question. When we come back, we're going to have a question and answer period where you'll have the opportunity to ask questions about time. You and time and, you know, what's going on with time in you. What do you want to know about time? All right. So we're going to close now. And we'll see you shortly, about 10 minutes or so. Farewell.